This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, hear me out, John. I think I'm seeing the future for J.J. Watt.
You see, this is very intriguing. You see a future, and it's not with the Houston Texans?
It's not.
Explain yourself.
2 years remaining on the contract of J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
33. He's going to be 32, pushing 33 when his contract expires after the 2021 season. We know he's been hobbled. We know in 3 out of the 4 last seasons, he's had a season-ending injury, although he did come back for the postseason this year. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We know he's not going to be as expensive as you would think he'd be. And you know that if you are a smart, and I say smart very loosely, organization, you let J.J. Watt play out this contract and don't give a guy who's had 3 out of 4 season-ending injuries to J.J. Watt. Oh, that's if you're smart.
100%. If the smart decision would be to do that.
We also know that if you're smart in a smart organization, a lot of times you have to make tough decisions like letting a guy like J.J. Watt walk away. It's not an ideal situation, but sometimes it happens. And we also know that when you're 32, 33, a lot of times if things have been stale with an organization, a lot of times it's better to go elsewhere and chase your dreams or try to find the next chapter in your football life. J.J. Watt, after the 2021 season, a Pittsburgh Steeler to join his brother out there in Pittsburgh to play some football. I can kind of see it. They go back and forth a lot on the internet. We saw TJ score the interception yesterday. We know how much they love each other.
Yeah.
We know how much J.J. likes new challenges.
J.J. was tossing babies of his nephew, tossing them up in the air. Not literally, but, you know.
Or are you trying to get him in trouble?
Sending out tweets about that. They're very, very close. Families are very close. I don't agree, though.
J.J. Watt to Pittsburgh.
I don't agree. J.J. Watt is a romantic at heart. He loves, you know, the meaningful moments in his sports life, right?
Okay.
He's a romantic.
Okay.
The Green Bay Packers is where he's going to finish his career. Grew up going, I mean, he was one of those guys on that famous, you know, what they did this year when they scrimmaged with the Packers, walk up, ride the bikes and all that stuff. He was one of the kids hoping that would happen. Grew up a Packers fan in Wisconsin, obviously went to school in Wisconsin. He's going to be a Packer.
Could I interest you in a fact?
Okay.
To piggyback on what you just said.
Okay.
Growing up as a Packer, the guy that brought the Packers to the next level, a guy who basically flipped the switch and made them a complete Super Bowl team, was Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie White was beloved in Philadelphia.
Yep. Did the same thing.
Icon in
Philadelphia. He likes the comparisons to Reggie White.
He was an all-pro in Philadelphia. Reggie White at the age of 32. How old did I say J.J. would be when his contract expired?
32.
He went to Green Bay, and he put them over the edge. I like where your head's at.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Watt, two different scenarios, two different possibilities for where he ends his career. And a lot of people say, well, he's Houston. He'd never leave the Texans.
Come on now.
I mean, did you think Andre Johnson was going to end up with the Colts? Sometimes it's either the player's decision or it's the organization's decision. And the reality of the situation with J.J. Watt right now is it makes zero sense to give J.J. Watt an extension. Zero sense to give J.J. Watt an extension.
And if they succumb to pressure from fans and do it, it's a mistake.
That's not good business.
Exactly.
It's not good NFL business. You got 2 more years of J.J. Watt. Giving him an extension makes zero sense right now. That would be a bad front office that would do that.
Yeah. No, it's a mistake. Everybody in this city just loves the guy, obviously knows what he's done for the community, but football decisions should be football decisions, not emotional.
Around the NFL here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson, he was in the Pro Bowl yesterday, threw a touchdown, This is Deshaun Watson talking about the passing of NBA legend Kobe Bryant.
I don't even really have words for it. I mean, it was heartbreak. It is heartbreaking. And for us to, you know, find out in the locker room before we came out, a lot of guys were just very emotional. And just to be able to, you know, get to know Kobe a couple months ago. He came down to Houston and now with his loss and his family, prayers all out to his family and friends. And I mean, it's just terrible news.
I forgot he did come down here. Remember, someone was telling us.
And spoke to the team before training camp.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Kobe was here.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. That was actually before the season.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Comes at you fast. I want to tell you something that the Indianapolis Colts GM, Chris Ballard, did this last week.
Like the guy. And I know it's not the popular opinion.
I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind when you think about this.
Okay.
When you hear this. So, Colts GM Chris Ballard, he joined Dan Dockage for 40 minutes.
What?
40 minutes. They touched on a ton of topics. These are the topics they touched on. Jacoby Brissett's future in Indy, Andrew Luck's retirement, the 2019 rookie class, every single free agent that the Colts have, and much more. When I tell you that, what crosses your mind, J-Lo?
Getting our guy Cal McNair in studio and doing much of the same or something very similar, because at this point, you say you want to hear from Easterby. I want to hear from his boss. It'd be nice to talk to Easterby. I wouldn't say no, and of course we know that when we talk or hear from Bill O'Brien, we get many of the same answers that we always get. So let's get I said I'd be working on that. Let's work on that and see if we can make that happen. 40 minutes.
I'm starting to wonder if I even want to hear.
I do. Oh, come on. Why not?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I'm starting. I was with you at first, but I'm starting to not even.
Because
really
we're not getting any real.
Yeah, but I think that speaks volumes. To me, you know, like I think the silence speaks volumes. Like, you know how they, like I don't know that anything that's going to be said is going to make me feel much better. And I think just in the current state, the current mindset that I'm in, I almost just don't want him to even say anything.
I can't even believe you're saying that. I feel like it should be an obligation for any owner in the NFL.
Well, it should be, but isn't.
And it should be.
So the silence is kind of speaking volumes to me.
Something that we hear from and get some answers from those vagaries that that Bill O'Brien often talks about. You know, get it from the owner.
Or the GM.
Or the GM.
Or the guy, the king.
Well,
I would say that could be
Bill O'Brien's the GM, but you get my point.
All right, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you, speaking of Bill O'Brien.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
All right, so you've compared Bill O'Brien and Jason Garrett, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You've compared him multiple times. And there's a lot of, there's reasonable comparisons between those two. Jason Garrett got fired from the Cowboys about a month ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, Jason Garrett got hired as the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants. It didn't take long.
Mm-hmm.
A team in that same division hired Jason Garrett, and he's going to be calling plays for one of the Cowboys' rivals. If Bill O'Brien got fired by the Houston Texans.
No. He would get a job probably in college if he wanted. If Bill no. He would not get another offensive coordinator.
There's no
especially offensive coordinator.
There's no way in hell, right, that any team in the NFL would say
I gotta have that guy.
I gotta have him overseeing my offense, right?
Yeah. No, it's
like
not immediately anyway. You know, maybe after after a couple of years, you know, he's a head coach back in college and has some success or whatever it is that he would get back up here. But no. No, they wouldn't.
You're right. But it just makes it interesting that we still haven't heard anything about the offensive staff.
Nothing.
Is that something that maybe he's thinking about? Does he think it was just good? Like, mm-hmm. what's the thoughts on the offensive staff? Help me.
You're talking about Bill O'Brien's perspective?
Help me
help you. Bill O'Brien's perspective on the offensive staff.
Help me.
Nothing's changed. By the way, I had a long conversation with somebody in the NFL yesterday. I was just chatting with him about something else, and he was talking about how interesting it was that Doug Peterson was bringing in an offensive quarterback guy to get a new perspective. And then I brought up to him what I mentioned to you. It's not just him. Sean Payton has done it.
No.
Some other coaches have done it, bringing in, you know, new eyes, a new set of eyes, so to speak. Bill O'Brien, the answer to your question is also no, because he hasn't done that. Tim Kelly.
I'm tired of hearing about Tim Kelly, man.
Tim Kelly is his guy.
Dude, that's really going to be what drives me crazy is when we talk about like a new offensive coordinator, a guy who's been with him for 9 years, John.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's been with him for 9 years, understudy.
Which tells you it's not a new set of eyes.
Why would anyone want a B.O.B. understudy to be the guy that takes – if there is something wrong with the offense, and there clearly is, like they're not as good as they should be.
Right.
And they didn't statistically really improve that much last year. Why would you want an – why would it be okay for one of his understudies to take over? Furthermore, if that understudy was capable, why wasn't he allowed to do it sooner rather than later? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. Like, we see all these young coaches coming in, and Cleveland just hired a GM that's 32 years old, and mm-hmm. Sean McVay was like 30 when he was a head coach in the league. And, you know, you see all these offensive coordinators. I don't even know how young Kyle Shanahan was when he first started being an OC. I want to say he was like close to 30. And then Tim Kelly, it's like, well, it's a process. We got to let Tim Kelly figure this out. He's been with you for 9 years.
With you for
9 years.
What's he
figuring out?
And the other thing is, I don't want to use this term, but it's the first one that came to mind.
Use it or lose it.
I say this in the most complimentary way possible. It's hard for me to believe that Tim Kelly is anything more than a yes man for Bill O'Brien's ideas. You know, because he's been with him and he trusts him. I'm not saying that's a bad thing per se in his case.
What do you mean it's not a bad thing?
In his case, because that's the guy that brought him up.
For him, okay.
Yeah, so he does believe in Bill O'Brien. He does believe in the offense that they're running. But that's not what we want. You don't want someone who's going to be a yes man, right? You want someone to say, hey, wait a minute. I've seen this in whatever, fill in the blank, you know, Miami or Chicago or whatever. And this is what we need to look at. So that's why all these coaches, proven Super Bowl winning coaches, by the way, are like, all right, am I getting stale? Sean Payton is saying that. Doug Peterson is saying that. Or do I need a new perspective? And they're bringing in guys from the outside specifically to do that. And that's an impressive thing that the league is doing. A lot of teams in the league are doing.
The OG,
not here.
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. What is the perfect way to throw a Super Bowl party? We'll hear from John Lucas at 1:40, but what does each Super Bowl party need? It's that week. It's time to start planning. It's time to start shopping. In the Loop's going to help you out next. I thought it was hilarious, John. We were talking about Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett becoming an offensive coordinator in the NFL a month after being fired from the Dallas Cowboys, and I was asking you about Bill O'Brien, if Bill O'Brien got fired from the...
No. That's the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's simple enough.
And the reason is, say what you will about Jason Garrett and Bill O'Brien kind of charting similar paths as head coaches, Jason Garrett's offense has been, I mean, he got the job as an offensive guy. You know, his offense has been successful. It's his leadership skills and head coaching skills that have faltered.
He was an offensive coordinator for 4 years with the Cowboys, 07 to 10. Then they brought in Bill Callahan. They brought in Scott Linehan. Like, they've brought in a lot of offensive coordinators. But in the 4 years that Jason Garrett, and this was in 07 to 010, so keep that in mind, or 2010, the Cowboys offense was 3rd, 13th, 2nd, and 7th.
So three top 10s.
Three top 10s. Bill O'Brien's never called a top 10 offense.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's the difference. That's why the answer is no.
Yeah, that's why the answer is no, and that's why John Lopez didn't even need to hear the question in order to answer it. The Super Bowl is this Sunday. Let's try to plan the perfect Super Bowl party. What do you need? What do you need to avoid in order to have the ideal Super Bowl party? 713-572-4610. To get in. It is the biggest event in American sports. J-Lo, I know you pride yourself as a pit master. You got a lot of hot takes on such things. First of all, you need to go to HEB to stock up, to say the very least. But what do you need and what do you not need to have the ideal Super Bowl party?
Well, to have the ideal Super Bowl party, you need the Super Bowl to be on a Saturday. But that's not what we're talking about right here.
Stay focused, John.
I'll stay focused. Okay. What do you feel like you're best at, number one? Here's the thing. When you have a Super Bowl party, you're going to have friends of friends that aren't necessarily like real close with you. You're going to have family members that, you know, you aren't necessarily always hanging out with, and neighbors that you kind of sort of know. So don't be taking any experiments on the menu. You know, I'm going to try this time. No, go with your strength. That's the number one rule for Sunday. Whatever you make best, whether it's smoking brisket and ribs and chicken and sausage and all that good stuff, or whatever great dish you have. I like to do crawfish on Super Bowl Sunday. And I know that's a little rare,
so
because
so does our boy Wheatstraw.
And the reason is, I'll tell you, because I love, you know, cooking barbecue and my barbecue sauce and all that stuff. But the reason we always do crawfish on Super Sunday is because
you're a show off.
Well, it's fun, first of all, and it's fun to eat. It's more of a social.
It's not fun to clean up, though, bro.
No, but you got the big tub in the middle. That's why, man. Still, pretty big job, but at least you have the big tub in the middle. No, the reason is because it's a social eating. You know, if you have, especially if you have a TV outside when you're doing it, if you're capable of doing that, it's a social environment of eating that people are going to be mixing and mingling with. And then here's the other thing. The biggest reason for me, it's the first weekend, generally speaking, that you can get crawfish. Now, a lot of restaurants have crawfish now. They came in a little early, or they're coming in from Louisiana. But I can drive to Liberty on Saturday before Super Bowl and get crawfish. And then, and up until the first week of February, it's hard.
Let me tell you something you don't need.
What's that?
I'll talk about what you do need, but let me tell you something you don't need, okay? You know I like my fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. Keep the veggie tray on the shelf.
Veggie tray's just mailing,
like,
it in. You're mailing it in.
I mean, like, if you're going to go there and you're going to get something stock, mm-hmm. a veggie tray is usually going to cost you about $15 or something. Just get a bunch of chips and dips or something like that, or go get you. You can do a lot better than the veggie tray. So if you're having a Super Bowl party, just save the veggie tray, okay? This isn't about veggies.
Yeah.
When you're eating at a Super Bowl party, this ain't about veggies. So you can take those veggies and stick them. Don't need those.
No, you don't. It's gluttony, right? It's football. It's the last big real football game of the year. Yeah, you got to be a glutton. You got to set the diet aside. And, you know, a lot of times I'll probably, if I do have barbecue, but lately we've been doing crawfish last 6 or 8 years, is Saturday to cook. I mean, you know, you cook a brisket properly, it's going to take 11, 12, 13 hours.
A loophole is saying that I brought a dish to a party last year and you ripped me for it. I don't think that was me. I think that was Jonesy. I think Jonesy brought something. That wasn't, no, it wasn't me.
What was it? It was Jonesy.
No, I always, this is me. This is me.
No, oh, it was little, like a pie. The mini cupcakes. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the plastic cupcakes. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
This is me. Like, look, I know my role. So if I'm going to a party and I know that everybody's going to be able to bring the food, don't bring the food just to bring the food. I'll go on a Saturday and get a bottle of tequila for the house or something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take some shots. Tequila. I got 24 pack right there. Help yourselves. Let's go.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. But I'm not the person that's going to come with a weak ass Frito bean dip or something like
another
that.
Another pretty good, another pretty strong move is lots of hors d'oeuvres. You know, lots, not just like a cup, like make the whole meal just hors d'oeuvres.
Pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket. You know, mini, what do they call them? Mini sausages with the barbecue sauce.
Those mini wraps.
Deviled eggs.
Oh, deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs go hard, man.
Put some barbecue sauce on them.
You know, all that stuff. Little chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
You know, that's another strong move for a Super Bowl.
It's sometimes like, you got to go boneless, though, in that situation.
A bleep ton of hors d'oeuvres.
I know that people prefer bone, but when there's a lot of people just sitting around, seating's going to be limited. Sometimes you just got to go boneless in that situation. You don't want people wiping their hands all up on your couch.
Multiple people asking if you're going to take balloons.
That's just for the fantasy football. You know, the landlocked straight cash homie fantasy football thing. No balloons. No balloons. I don't even know what I'm going to do for the Super Bowl this year. My dad and sister actually said, hey, we might drive up and just watch the Super Bowl with you. I was like, okay, if y'all want to. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? But
why don't you watch it on the big screen here, man?
It's not comfortable. I think if you're not gonna do something huge, I think you gotta be able to put your feet out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sometimes like a blanket. There are a few things better than, well, obviously if you have the big party, that's one thing. But if you're not doing anything, just being able to wear the sweats and sit on the couch, put the blanket over, have the fan going. Sometimes that's the best.
You got to do squares too, right?
If you want,
you got to do squares. If you have more than 10, 15 people at your party, just start selling those squares. Even for not for profit, you know, not the house doesn't take anything. Just do it for fun.
I know LL prefers bone. Z3303. Now you're just getting kind of weird. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. Weed straw, of course, says catfish. He's always been known to do it. Jalapeno peppers wrapped in bacon. Can't go wrong with that. With the cream cheese, I know HEB has those. What about pizza? Make that
part of the multiple hors d'oeuvre.
Do you think that's kind of an over? Some people try to think it's kind of lazy, but no, it's pizza.
Pizza good.
Pizza's good for sure. Black bean salsa, ceviche, lettuce wraps, getting all kinds of texts on the back.
Queso is a must.
Depending on how you want to say it.
Say it again.
Queso. Depending on how you want to say it.
Queso. Say it again.
Queso. Ask your girl. Oh, wait.
Queso. I think you got to have peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you got to have peanut M&Ms. Yeah. If you're going to go with the candy, peanut M&Ms, you can't go wrong with the peanut M&Ms. You have to have them.
All that. Either like big barbecue or big crawfish or shrimp boil, if that's what you want, or a bunch of good or like heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Got to have the White Claws these days.
I still haven't had one.
Got to have a change up. No, that's not your thing.
Yeah.
No, that's not your thing.
Everybody likes them.
The hell does that mean?
Why is it not his thing? It's like a whites only drink.
Yeah, Landry. Why is it not a me thing?
I don't know if it's a whites only, but it's a basic bitch drink for sure.
And you got
I drink it.
Here's a texter.
Might not surprise you.
Reminded me of something. You got to go full. I was gonna say white trash. Is that all right? You know. French onion dip with Lay's.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You have to.
You got to go full on.
You know what you have to have? Hell of a good dip, too. Yeah. Hell of a good is like 150 at HEB. Mm-hmm. It's the best dip ever.
Or what's seven? It's what is it? HEB. The seven-layer dip?
They already have that made. Yeah. $4.95. Mm-hmm. You got to go with that. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like this segment was
Ruffles.
Sponsored by HEB.
Not Lay's. Ruffles with French onion dip.
Really?
That's strong.
I think kettle-cooked Lay's jalapeno are pretty,
but they break.
Pretty strong, too.
When you dip them.
Ruffles? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
No, Ruffles don't break.
They do.
Well, you have
Ruffles
to really
the best.
You have to, yeah, Ruffles with French onion, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm starving. 713-572-4610 to get in. John Lucas, he is an OG in the NBA, not just around Houston, but nationally. He's known Kobe Bryant for a very long time. In fact, his daughter went to high school with Kobe Bryant. It's always good when the legend John Lucas holds camp, which he did earlier on in the show. We're going to revisit what John Lucas had to say about Kobe. I promise you, of all the things you'll hear about Kobe Bryant here in Houston, this is the thing that you need to hear. This is the guy that you need to hear from, and we're going to allow you to hear from him next. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Yesterday was supposed to be a quiet day in sports. Really no football, unless you consider the Pro Bowl football. And just, you know, the first Sunday without an NFL game that mattered in damn near 20 weeks. However, the news broke down that Kobe Bryant had passed, and our show prep, to say the very least, took a little bit of a turn to honor Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, one of his four daughters, Gigi, who were killed in a helicopter crash yesterday. We take pride in localizing things. We take pride in being the voice of Houston, giving you a pulse of Houston sports whenever we do something. So we try to put our heads together and use the Rolodex, quite honestly, of the OG John Lopez, who's been covering sports here for 3 decades. And when the topic came up, who is the one guy locally that can provide the most insight and give the best Houston perspective as well as overall perspective to the life of Kobe Bryant? The name that came up was really unanimous among all of us, John.
Yeah, that would be John Lucas, former Rocket, former high school phenom himself, by the way, coach, and certainly now on the staff as well. He knew you got to listen to this. Text your friends and tell them to tune in because he knew Kobe when he was in high school, and we'll ask him about that. But got to be very, very close with the family. And some perspective on the man and the guy that was Kobe Bryant. And, of course, you know, we'll ask him foremost, you know, how this all started and what he first saw in Kobe Bryant as a youth.
Well, you know, back then, John, I was a coach of the 76ers. And so, you know, we were off a road trip, and my wife said, "I've seen a better high school basketball player than you." I said, "You got to be kidding me." And she said, "Yes, we're going to go watch this guy." I said, "Who?" I said, "Look, I'm tired." We'd be like, so she got me to go. And I said, "Who is the kid?" She said, "His name is Kobe Bean." And so I get there and I get ready to go in the arena. And there's Jelly Bean Bryant, who used to play with the Rockets, who was standing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Hey, Jelly Bean, how you doing?" He said, "Good." I said, "I'm here to see some young kid play named Kobe Bean." He said, "Oh, that's my son." I said, "Really?" I went in there and then I went to see him play, and he was playing against what would be equivalent in our local area as a Yates High School team, a really pressing team that pressed a lot of athletes. And Kobe started out playing the five. And by the end of the game, he was playing the point. So after the season ended and I saw him play, I invited him to come work out with our 76ers. And that year, we had the third pick in the draft. And every morning I would have him get up at 6:30, a lot like I used to tell Winslow, Justin Jackson, a lot of kids in the Houston area. And Kobe would get, he would beat me to the gym every morning. And I lived right around the corner, but he lived a little further away. He beat me every morning. So I would have my strength coach lift with him until I got there. So he didn't. And so that year in the draft, before we have all these rules that we got now, in basketball, where with draft and draft workouts, I judged everybody by playing one-on-one with a junior in high school named Kobe Bryant. And Kobe beat all the guys in that class except for Antonio McDice. And I drafted a guy that he beat, number three in the pick. And I never forget what the guy said to me. He said, "What position is he on the team?" I said, "I hate to tell you, he's just a junior in high school." So, you know, that was my first beginning. And then there was a young lady, she coaches at South Carolina now. Her name is Dawn Staley.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn was coming off of her knee injury, so I had her and Kobe work out with our team in summer workouts then. And Dawn went on with the Olympics that year, and Kobe went on to continue to play. So I saw him, and then I watched him go play against Rip Hamilton, who went on to play with the Detroit Pistons, and they were in high school at the same time. And I said, "Kobe's got a real chance." And as Kobe went on and I met with his family, we became closer and closer. In fact, his senior year, my daughter, Kobe went with the prom with a young lady named Brandy. And my daughter went with Kobe's best friends, and they took all of their prom pictures at the house, and we came very, very close to the family. And Kobe really began to get his worth after then. And then there was a guy named Bob Bass. I got fired, and Bob Bass, the next year Kobe was in the draft, I called Bob Bass, who was the general manager of the Charlotte Hornets. And I said, "BB, if you can get this guy, you draft him. Don't you worry about what anybody says." So BB took him as the 13th pick in the draft. But Jerry West traded Vlade Divac to get him. And so when they got him, every year he would come to Houston. He would stay at the house. My daughter would go out and eat with him, and I was out at Westside Tennis Club. He would go out to Westside and work on his game and continue to build. Kobe was one of a kind when it came to work ethic and wanted to be. Because when he got drafted, John and Landry, you know, most people bring their friends, their mother and dad with them. Mm-hmm. He took my strength coach, Joe Carbone, and put him on the Lakers staff for his own strength and conditioning guy.
Wow.
So Kobe was just always really at another level, always worked hard. We talked about life, girls, things that were going on with him in his life. And, oh, and my last story about him is really funny. Kobe would be mad if I told the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I introduced him to Michael Jordan. He wanted to meet Michael. Michael was with the Bulls, and so after the game, and we, you know, as a coach, you know, we were struggling, but I wanted Kobe to meet Michael. So I asked Michael to meet us in the locker room. And after everybody cleared out, I brought Kobe in there to meet Michael. And he goes, "Hello, Mr. Jordan." And then Michael threw the Carolina pitch on him. And then after Michael left, I said, "Now look, Kobe, if you're going to go pro, you can't call him Mr. Jordan anymore." And from that point on, he was like on a different level. But, you know, as he went on, my daughter is really taking it really hard, and my boys, John, and one of the things that we gave both of them for graduation presents were Kobe's uniforms that he signed, and they both have them up in their houses now. And they were just John, who played and was with Kobe, and Jay, who coaches at Texas, and my daughter, who runs my enterprise. They were just, you know, they're really struggling. And Cher, his sister, and my daughter, we're very best of friends, and they've been in contact. And, you know, we'll just go from there. It's just a tough time for basketball because it's been only three, Landry and John, it's only been three MVPs in the years of the league that have passed. Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, who I also was, he was my college roommate for one day before we played with the Rockets together, and Kobe Bryant. You know, we're not like football when it comes to that regard. You know, our guys and our legends live a long time, and you expect to see them. But in this case, you know, it's just gut-wrenching because of the daughters and the other families that were involved. And what they were doing was going to do what he loves, basketball.
Talking to John Lucas here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, a man who knows Kobe Bryant more than most. It also seemed like, John, and we've been talking about this, it seemed like he had a lot more. The way I described Kobe Bryant when we did an interview earlier this morning was legendary and unfinished. It seemed like, you know, of all the guys that leave basketball, it was intriguing to just see what exactly, whether it was movies or whatever, it just seemed like there was a hell of a lot that Kobe Bryant had to add and show just his greatness in other forms.
Well, you know, I thought about that this morning. I haven't had much sleep because we play Utah tonight. I thought about that today, but then for one day in the last couple of years, it seems like our whole world has come together and dropped a lot of differences, and everybody's talking about a sense of love and peace and some understanding. And I'm sure I'm calling loved ones to tell them how much they love them. My phone hadn't rang so much just to say they're thinking about you as it has in years. And I think Kobe's business was bringing some of that together. Because now Kobe wasn't easy to deal with. Now let's don't get it twisted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a piece of work now. I'm just telling you.
As far as that goes, John, I wanted to ask you about this. Because a lot of times guys that were great at basketball, a lot of times their greatness, it stands alone, but a lot of times, and I think you know this more than anybody, so I'm intrigued to hear what you say about it. When players try to imitate Kobe Bryant and the chip on the shoulder and all that type of stuff and the relentlessness and stuff, that can backfire at times, right? Because you're talking about him being hard to deal with. This is not really a guy that you can really just – you can't duplicate a Kobe Bryant. You can't copy Kobe Bryant if you're a young player.
Well, you know, it's funny, Landry, what you say, because he was very validated and people really did not like Kobe because they thought he was too much trying to mimic Michael Jordan, all his mannerisms when he hit winning shot, all the things that he did. And then they used to boo him in Philly every time he came back to play because of Laurel Murray and because he went to Philly. So, I mean, Kobe had a lot of trial and tribulations as well as what he went through in Denver with the rape charges and things that he did and came through. And so Kobe, you know, he was different. He was flawed, but he was different, but he was very good and conscious, and he was better after he got out of basketball. And people can't imitate that because when you're a superstar, you're an asshole. I don't know nobody that's great that wasn't a jerk, okay? I don't know nobody that because that's what drives them to be successful. And they try to raise their teammates and others around them to another level. And sometimes people who don't have it, not everybody's got who's great, has got leadership skills. So with your greatness, you have to find out, how do you lead? Do you lead by example? Do you lead by getting on guys and being accountable before yourself? But very rare do you have people that are that committed to their trait.
And, Luke, I know you've had this lifelong commitment, and certainly all the 25, 30 years that I've known you, of committing back to the game and to your family and to young kids. And the fact that Gigi was on the helicopter with him is what resonates a lot with a lot of people. Tell me about that commitment that he had with the future of the game and his family.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think it'll hurt a little bit, a lot, rather, besides is all, is that I think he was going to really empower women's basketball, because he had really began to take that on. The WNBA had just got a new collective bargaining agreement. The girls' basketball was on the rise. I'm heavily involved with girls' basketball. In fact, I invited Kobe and his daughter to my elite camp for girls. It's called the Girls Top 160 in Houston. And he said, she's just a year too young, coach. I'm going to bring her the next year. So, you know, I just think he's going to transcend what they've done. And it's been great when, you know, not a lot of people get unknown by one name.
Which one? Kobe, right?
Said, not a lot of people. Yeah, Kobe.
Kobe.
Serena, Beyonce, Shaq, those guys. Yeah. There are not too many that people know who you're talking about. And it was great that, you know, it was really ironic, but LeBron James was in Philly.
Yeah, I saw
that. Kobe's record, where he broke Kobe's record and was flying back, and he was in a Laker uniform.
Yeah.
And when I heard about Kobe having LeBron come to his room when LeBron was in high school, all I could think about was what happened when I introduced him to Michael.
Same thing.
Kind of passing it on to the next generation.
Well, Luke, you know I love you, man, and you have our condolences as well. A lot of people don't realize, well, they do now, but how extremely close you were with the entire family, and our condolences to you as well, Luke.
All right, well, we got to get ourselves together. We got to play Utah tonight, so
yeah.
We will.
Yeah,
is that going to happen? Right, is that going to happen? You want to guarantee a win on the air right here, Luke? We'll give it to you.
Well, we don't have James or Russ tonight, so it's going to be tough.
Okay, so
we'll see what we can do.
All right, John, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Well, bet the house on Utah. That's the whole story. Learned a lot about Kobe. Also learned if you are a betting man, you need to bet the house on Utah. You know what, John?
Mm.
I've had enough of this mushy stuff right now. So I want to honor Kobe. In a way that I think I've been honoring him this way for a while, but I want to kick your ass and honor Kobe the only way that I know how to do so in a game of Kobe trash can basketball. I have wadded up, and I was getting dirty looks from the boss lady. I've wadded up 8 pieces of paper. Every time you shoot, you got to yell Kobe. 4 shots each.
Are we videotaping
Let's
this?
Let's go. I'm taking you to the woodshed, son.
Kobe. I'm 1-for-1.
Kobe.
You're 0-for-1. Kobe. 1-for-2.
Kobe.
0-for-2.
Good Lord. Is this Shaq or Kobe for me?
Kobe. Oh, that was it.
Kobe.
All right, we're tied. Kobe. I've got 2.
Kobe. Clutch, right. Baby.
You're missing a sheet.
Next one to miss, loses.
Need tiebreaker here. Hold on. What do you mean next one to miss, loses? Then you shoot first.
No, you're the OG.
Kobe. Oh.
For the win. Kobe, this one's for you, baby. Kobe.
Oh.
Yes, sir. That's a
oh,
W.
I just made it.
Too late. Nice practice. Hey, that was honoring Kobe, too. Staying after and shooting. Good
there
job,
you go.
John.
Thank you.
The moral of the story is, Landry Laca, victorious. Victorious. I finally got my revenge for the beer chug. You can stick to consuming alcohol, stick to making buckets, John
if
Lopez.
I was throwing a hook shot, I made them all.
The Whopper.
The Whopper hook.
The Whopper. Mm-hmm. It's been a crazy day. Very crazy day. It's very rare that, you know, sports crosses over into other stuff. But I think regardless of where you go, where you went, the first thing that anyone talks about is has been this Kobe Bryant thing. And age of 41, 13-year-old daughter with him, just way, 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 way too soon for a legend that I think the respect, the admiration, I think it increased, not after he died. I think it had already been increasing, and I think a lot of people who necessarily, including myself, weren't necessarily Team Kobe throughout his career when you had to pick between he and Shaq, he and LeBron, or, you know, he and MJ. I think even those people, it's not revisionist history. I think they'd kind of started, you know, admiring the man even more than they did. And I think it's only going to grow. The legend of Kobe is only going to grow as time goes on.
All right. And you and I have talked about, you know, obviously him and legacy and memories and things that came to mind. Let's talk basketball. All right. Your one Kobe basketball moment that comes to mind, like on the court. What's the first thing you think of when you see Kobe, you know, in your mind's eye? What basketball moment comes to mind immediately?
I mean, there was a lot of them, man. I mean, I could probably list like 20. I mean, and it could be
all first one you're thinking about.
Different. Oh, I mean, the last time we saw him play, where he looked completely washed,
points.
And then in the final game of his career, he ends up scoring 60 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you could go through every single, you know, Kobe Bryant time, and I think that one sticks out as for me.
I know, wasn't it Robert Horry that made the big shot against the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, when Divock tipped it out.
Yeah, but I remember Kobe from that game. They're actually showing a part of it right now. That one, and of course, just being able to, you know, not flinch. When I forgot who the player was
trying, Matt Barnes yeah,
was trying to intimidate Kobe,
yeah,
from on an inbounds pass. Everybody I know would have flinched.
Yeah,
and the guy like flashed the ball like in Kobe's face, and Kobe just stared at him like, "Yeah, is that all you got?" I was like, "That dude."
That's my favorite moment.
That
Kobe.
Dude, man, he's not even. I mean, it's natural instinct to flinch, and he's just staring at
that's
him.
That's a killer who do
that. That is a killer.
That's a killer.
Right there, no doubt about it.
I mean, you can just go through. There's so many different Kobes. There's young Kobe with the fro. Then there's the Kobe without Shaq. And even then, I know they were playing the Suns in the first round. They ended up blowing a 2-1 series lead, or maybe 2-0 or whatever it was in the first round then. I think it might have been 2-0. Kobe hits the shot at the buzzer, and then he kind of pulls the jersey down and kind of shows the heart. And then you had the Kobe Gasol. You had that Kobe, and then you had the Kobe post Achilles. There's a lot of Kobes, but the one thing you can say about Kobe, he was always a professional. Kobe never really looked dusty at all. So, you know, it was a crazy day yesterday. It was supposed to be a quiet day in sports, but, you know, it's probably the loudest Sunday that we've had in some time. And it not only shook up basketball, shook up the Pro Bowl as well, but we lost a legend too soon. And I also think that, you know, the crazy thing about it is it just seemed like there was so much more meat on that bone.
Yeah, there was a lot left.
In regards to life.
A lot left in his life.
With Kobe, but it seemed like, you know, the fascination of Kobe was at least beginning before he passed away, instead of it being hindsight. Because I think a lot of times when someone dies, there's like the hindsight 2020, and, you know, he wasn't this bad, so bad after mm-hmm. all. I think if Kobe would have passed away after, like, immediately after his basketball career, I think there would be a lot of chasing your tail and kind of, you know, redoing what you thought of him. But I really do think the few years that he's been out of the game,
mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant has won over a lot of people that might not have been his biggest fans when he was
playing. And he showed that other side. You know, a lot of people say, as you just heard John Lucas talk about, now he could be difficult to get along with now. But that's because that was the basketball intense competitor side. He showed the other side post-basketball, and a lot of it had to do with his family, which tragically he lost his daughter.
Thanks to Fran Blindberry for joining the show. Thanks to the OG John Lucas for joining the show. Thanks to myself for my clutch skills in beating John Lopez in the Kobe trash can contest.
What are you talking about? One bucket.
Well, sometimes it just takes one. Ask Kobe. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. For the OG John Lopez, I am Landry Locker. This has been In the Loop, episode number 422. Thank you very much for being with us. It's not always easy to do stuff like this, but as always, we always try to localize it and give you the pulse of Houston. We'll talk to you tomorrow. John McClain's going to be in the building. We're going to start looking ahead to the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the Texans as well as the Astros. We could have a new manager as early as tomorrow. We'll keep you up to date for the latest and greatest. Go to sportsradio610.com. Jeremy Branham and Clint Sterner are next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.